The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Give us feedback on this podcast or ask tech questions by calling the voicemail hotline at 877-414-5856. That's 877-414-5856 to get your questions answered.
Now, what the hell is this? I wanted to take issue with the liners, is Windful of Splogs. You start out with the whole me and Ponzi talking about my underwear.
Win being Weblogs Inc.
Yes,
I definitely saw underwear in that. Click the link.
Oh, I know it was there. Yeah. I know what Jake posted. I didn't think that was going to be for public consumption. My underwear for public consumption.
Public as like 1,000, granted 1,000 people who are like, all have their own blogs, but like 1,000 people a day we're at right now.
No, I think what he meant was he didn't think I was going to post that
segment.
Oh,
you were? Yeah. He didn't think you were going to post it?
Yeah, we only have 2 dozen people who listen to us on our regular
basis. Is this the first you found out about this?
Well, no, I wanted to take issue with it and bring you on the air to, like, you know, put you in the hot seat.
Although, you know, a link like Dirty Dishes and Underwear that does scream tablet.
You got to listen to me, yeah. That's the closest thing. When the first word of Blogeberty came around, it was interesting. Were you a part of that?
No, I wasn't a part of it until just after they won the Technorati Prize in the Contagious Media Contest, and just before they went and accepted it.
Okay.
So, like, I think that was about a month there that they were running before I joined.
And what is the Technorati Prize?
That was, you know, the Blogeberty launched as part of the Contagious Media Project, or contest. I'm not sure what the URL is. I know I always get it wrong. But, like, Contagious Media Showdown, that's it. And the Technorati Prize was the most links in. I think Crying While Eating won, like, most hits, which it definitely deserved. It was really good.
Well, how did Weblogs Inc. not win that?
I do that every day.
How did Weblogs Inc. not win that?
You mean Blogeberty or...
No.
Weblogs Inc. for
not
crying
most
while
links
eating?
In. No, most links in.
I'm utterly confused as to what you're asking. Oh, for most links in. Hey, we just ran something.
I know.
That's actually the Windful of Splogs thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It raises a very good question. Do you have a certain take on that? On whether or not they're older blogs that are no longer really being updated, or just that activity in and of itself is very sploggish?
Well, I wouldn't call it spam, and I really don't like to assume, evil intentions on anyone's part. And I've had, you know, all the time when I get a tip for something, it's someone saying, oh, so-and-so is trying to break the internet, you know? And I think when just, you know, they have those blogs, they have the full intention of always running those blogs, and some things just don't work out. And they just need, you know, to do the public service of cleaning up that stuff so that they, every time they do a, you know, summary of those Win blogs, that they don't send it to the 60 blogs they've got sitting there. No, I think, almost 50 blogs that aren't being updated.
Yeah.
I don't think all of them are running this weekly thing, but a heck of a lot of them are, and that's really not healthy.
You've gone, and speaking of not healthy, it looks like you got the same bacon survey that I did.
Oh, you got that?
Yeah, I didn't even, I kind of saw it as spam, so I didn't even bother to respond. I just kind of deleted it.
It was really lame. Who sends a doc attachment?
Microsoft.
And then asks you to fax it back?
Microsoft?
Yeah.
They wouldn't
ask you to fax it back to them. I mean, they would make a doc that you could fill out. They had radio buttons in there. All they were images.
Oh my
I couldn't
God.
Click anything.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to fax. I don't have a fax machine.
Oh my God.
I'm a blogger.
You know, and that's the funny thing is they were asking about bloggers.
And
the fax machine. That's crazy.
Think maybe they would have done a little research before they got into the business.
That's so frustrating for me when I get something from somebody and they say, here's our survey, take it, and it's like an attachment, or it's mm-hmm. like I had to fill out something for a stipend the other day, and it was a document where I had to print it out, write information on it, and then I was just like, you know what, this is just stupid. So I've got a service where I can scan a document to a fax machine, mm-hmm. so it's like an IP fax type of system.
Right.
It's not free, unfortunately. Yeah. Although I believe there are gateways out there.
Well, you can do that with e-fax, technically.
Yeah, e-fax
if you're willing to
well.
Get spam faxes from them periodically.
Mm-hmm. So now, Blog Eberty, and we kind of we try to introduce it as, and we've kind of been talking around it. But you're pretty much a spotlight on you're another filter, much like a memorandum, only with a lot more human touch.
Right. Yeah. I mean, one thing we try to concentrate on is that we're not going to be able to compete for just outright volume of coverage and like picking up every important story with memorandum. I mean, they really have done a wonderful job there of compiling everything and judging, you know, with their algorithms, what's the most important story. So what we want to do is combine stuff, you know, do as much commentary and comedy as we can. And I'm still getting used to trying to, you know, make a joke about someone releasing some new piece of software. It can be really hard to pull a joke out of this stuff, but... we're trying without falling into, I got to watch what I say, but not some of the snark that you'll find on some of the Gawker blogs.
Oh, you come know, on, we know Gawker's snarky.
They tend, hey, I've actually got that comic open. I was actually going to ask you guys to open that just because it was so cool. I thought that Will Wheaton was up there. But anyway, yeah, for those of our, for everyone who's just listening to the audio, on overcompensating... which I guess is wigu.com/overcompensating. There's a comic with Will Wheaton, which is pretty good. And it actually took me... I actually blogged it, then came back, and then got the joke of that he's trying to spell Heimlich maneuver. I had no idea. I thought it was some Dadaist exercise by overcompensating, because I wouldn't put that past him. But, yeah, we try to just, you know, poke fun at stuff, raise questions... That's one thing tech memorandum can't do.
Yeah.
It can't ask a question. And we're just starting now to get some healthy flow of comments, and we're getting a lot of people who are contributing. I absolutely love comments on there, and I'm going to have to think of some more ways to encourage it more, because I just love the discussions we get. Will Wheaton actually came over when I made a joke about him, and he wasn't sure whether I was kidding when I said he couldn't pay the bills. And I, you know, I have
no, Will's a good guy.
That Will Wheaton is able to pay his bills.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told him back in the comments that it's okay. I was just kidding about that. And I really love his work. And that's, I think, another important thing that comes through with us, is that I really just love covering all the people I cover. I'm so excited about all the things these people are doing. I'm really excited about the Gotta Be thing that you're just released.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in that.
Here's I don't know if this is a hot tip, but I think we may be seeking funding.
You may be what?
Seeking funding.
Ooh. Just a second. I gotta see if I can turn the volume up on this phone.
Yeah. Right, what he really means is he's blogging that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's done. Oh,
writing
man.
It down in Notepad.
What a scoop. Oh,
I've
my
got
God.
Things open to type into, and they're all chat channels.
Yeah.
I don't have anything private right now.
No way. I think, you know, in seeing what we have right now and working with it, I think we're certainly hitting certain limitations, and we've got a few really good things planned, both Shane and I. And I think to see those dreams come to fruition, we've got to find bigger partners than what we currently have. So
awesome.
We're thinking about exactly how to do it. I mean, it's not exactly we're gonna hey this is what's going on. We
right,
may be
right.
public about it, but no. But we for it to succeed, we're gonna need to find some bigger partners for it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's certainly generated a hell of a lot more positive buzz in recent weeks than other things have.
Awesome.
Without overhype.
Do you have any like traffic stat?
Yeah.
That
as a matter of fact, we've got in doing things. I'm just going to pull up Firefox here on my screen. We're running Mint, and we installed this. Shane installed this the other day.
Yeah.
And it only works in Firefox. It does not work in IE at all. I mean, like, not even at all. So let me increase the font a little bit here.
That seems like a problem.
No, it isn't, because the guy is a Mac head, so of course he's, you know, biased and everything. So we're getting about 8,000 or so on a daily basis now. About 5,000 or 6,000 uniques. We turned it on Tuesday, so these stats aren't like representative of everything.
Right.
And there are certainly things that I'm going to be doing to kind of make it proliferate and get out there more and more, including, you know, developing plugins, partnerships, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And those things are certainly coming together. It's just, you know, at the speed at which they're coming together. And honestly, what we really have is just kind of a bare bones with Gotta Be. What I want to do with it is where really it's going to increase.
It looks like it has so many options for, or so much potential for integration into other tools. You know?
Yep. And that's exactly
to work
where
with
we're
other
go.
Partners and
yep.
everything. Great.
We're thinking about this, and we're not exactly sure how to go. And I'm trying to figure out how to pose this to the greater community. I'm like, what can we do with this? Where can we go with it? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm toying with the idea of, you know, I don't know if I want to necessarily open source it, because certainly, I mean, there's a certain value that is ascribed to what we're putting together, mm-hmm. and there are certain elements about Gotta Be that I want to open source.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out what those are and looking for that kind of dialogue and certainly opening up partnerships. But you can see most of the traffic we get, you know, not only am I driving stuff through Locker Gnome, mm-hmm. but if I show you over on Google here, Gotta Be, I'll show you on Gotta a Google, we've already got 609,000 searches indexed.
Nice.
And we actually own a couple of searches. So, like, I found this oversubscription. If you search for that on Google, the first link is Gotta Be. Which, I don't ask me how the hell that happened. Apparently, it's not a very popular term. But the word is getting out, certainly, and I've noticed you know, certain things, you know, searches come through, unique searches. I've had to be careful.
Oh, there's one of the porn searches.
Is there? Where?
Female nudity.
Oh, okay. Well, that wasn't too bad. Oh, porncast. There we go. and that was a search from Google. It's so interesting, though, to see. Oh, look at that. We're number two on Google for porncast.
You know, I've noticed that that's one thing that always it's a stage. It's like an archetype of every search tool that at some point, like in the first week after it releases, they'll have an update. Oh, now we're filtering out the porn searches from the front site.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just. I heard a really great statement about it once. I can't do it justice, but it was basically that it's not that people's tastes are puerile. It's just that our good tastes, our interesting tastes, you know, our high-end tastes are all different, yep. right? Like that you get that search over there for pumpkin carving patterns, you know? Not everybody is interested in pumpkin carving. But the few things that we all have in common are sex and, I guess, violence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's why that will be the most common search, not necessarily because people are bad people, but it's just what we all can agree on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm noticing with Gotta Be, and I've got right now the browser agents pulled up, we've got a lot of Internet Explorer users. I mean, 50% of the stats that we're pulling in, and the rest of it's been marginalized. If I look at all the Firefox versions, like basically take up an entire page, this is how many Firefox versions are out there. I mean, that have been pulled into. I mean, some of them are very, very, you know, small percentages.
Right, right.
But you know, with Firefox taking up about 37%, that's actually it's pretty telling, because right now the only people who've really seen it at this point, there have been a few people who I would consider non-bloggers who have certainly grokked the concept and kind of adopted it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know, what we've really hit is the blogging community at this point. But
IE use for that community or for that community.
Yeah. And you have to look at it insofar as the blog juice, it was there, but now we're getting a lot of our results through not only Locker Gnome, but searches in general. So if I press most recent again, Google searches, AOL searches, you know, Yahoo searches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Excellent.
You know, people searching for, you know, simple things or seemingly simple things. So like this person actually searches for a specific zip file. It pulls up icons.gotta be. I mean, we're the only result for that particular index or that particular search.
You know, to flip this back over to Blogebrity. Mm-hmm. So for people who might not know what Blogebrity is, like what is, for instance, the Blogebrity list?
The Blogebrity list?
Yes.
Okay. Our list, which we're currently working on a lot of overhaul for this thing, because for one, we've still got it in the black and pink instead of our new design. if you remember, when we launched and all summer up till, has to be maybe like 3 weeks ago, maybe a month, we were on this ugly Blogger template. Not to, you know, slam the guys who designed it, but it's just been great to move to this new list, or design. Anyway, the list is really, it's a list of, you know, A-list, B-list, and C-list bloggers. Technically, anyone can be on the C-list. If anyone has a blog and wants to be on the C-list, email tips@blogeberty.com, and we can add you. If you want, give us a little info about your blog so I can look and maybe include it in other coverage. But anyway, the A-list are people we really consider to be influential and read a lot within the community. There's some points given if someone's actually a celebrity outside of blogging and the internet. Like, I think we might still have Tom Green on here, even though not that many people are picking up. Nope, I think we moved him down.
Yeah, I don't
to the
see
B-list.
Yeah, he's not on the A-list anymore.
Well, at
we
least
might have moved him to the C.
I'm not exactly sure. Do you have the lists? Is the list public?
Oh, yeah. If you go on the...
It's the list at the top of the...
if you go on the top, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's the list.
The most obvious place. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. One thing you'll notice at the top there is that this is the most worthless page for getting ad.
Yeah, of
Google
course.
Ads.
Of course.
Because it is just a link list. And it gets a lot of traffic, but that's one thing we need to redesign with it is to, you know, from this list, remind people that we also have a blog. And that's one thing I've tried to move a lot of focus to right now is the blog until we have the list in a much more relevant setup. Because I like it. I love it where it is. That took tons of work on Kyle and Jeremy's part. And I wasn't involved when they were making the list. But
so
it helped.
But this is not like a dynamically generated list that's based on current buzz or something.
Exactly. And we do always welcome tips and recommendations from people for moving someone up or down. Because frankly, obviously no three people could handle, you know, monitoring all these people.
Yeah.
And that's why one thing we're really interested in is later developing this so that people can go to the list and rate someone up or down or evaluate, you know, what they think of someone. So it'll be a lot more dynamic and a lot more, I think, of a global catfight. But it'll be a lot of fun to see when people are allowed to interact with that, you know. Hmm. And again, that's part of our whole trying to get away from just an algorithm.
Because you could have a lot of fun with that using sort of the Alexa movers and shakers concept of traffic, you know, traffic patterns on the internet combined with some of the things of, you know, people's natural inclination to vote for or against people they like or dislike strongly.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really fun watching people go up and down in popularity, and I'd love to be able to represent that in a list. For instance, actually, David Weinberger is one person that I just don't hear people mention as much right now as they used to. Even though he came out with that WIST tool a little while ago, I really haven't heard much buzz about that. I'm sorry, why did I say David Weinberger?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, geez. I don't know if that's the right name. No, David Galbraith.
Yeah. Oh, okay, David. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and another man entirely. David Galbraith, who I heard, like, Kotke and a few other people mentioned him a lot a few months ago, and I know he's somewhere on our list, but I don't know how high. Anyway, Larry Lessig is still getting some buzz, but I personally haven't heard as many references to him as I did a couple of years ago, you know, when he was involved in the Supreme Court case. Obviously, that was when he was highest up.
You know, we're finding it interesting here. Seems like one of the writers you have in your B column, Adam Finley, used to write for Locker Gnome. Really got a start for Locker Gnome. This
really?
Has got it. Yeah.
And he also wrote for Tor Fierce.com.
Yeah, Fierce. He was doing Fierce before Locker Gnome. But this is very interesting. I think it's got to be the same Adam Finley,
who's now doing AdJab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. He was a really good writer, too. I mean, a really good writer.
He's got some wicked funny stuff.
Oh,
so
his stuff was really, really, really good.
Nice. I'll have to keep track of him. Yeah, I've got... I can never pick which of, like, the three or four great ad blogs that are out there. AdRag and... I forget if AdReg is linked with either AdLand or another one or something. And someone mentioned to me a little while ago when Instablogs came out. Have you guys seen Instablogs?
No.
Blog network from India? Yeah, if you go to instablogs.com, they're really, they started out really rough. They had what looked like a hand-coded blog until their release. And, yeah, they've got these cartoons that they're drawing up. And, it's entirely run from India. As far as I can tell, I think all the writers are in India. And it's, for one, you'll find a lot of little differences from the dialects that are interesting to see. Like, just, you know, the way they speak the English language is different than American and British speakers. And a lot of the perspectives you'll get on the news is different. And some of these blogs are really personal takes, and that's interesting stuff on, you know, some areas that aren't usually, like Wynn probably wouldn't cover a few of these topics.
Yeah,
they're a little more consumer-oriented. But one of the Instablogs blogs is like a ad punch or something. And someone noticed that that they might possibly have seen ad jab a little before they named ad punch or ad burst or whatever it is. It's something,
I'm
you know,
for it,
ad kick. I don't know. They have at least 70
ad
blogs.
Punch. Ad punch.
There it is. Ad punch. Yeah. Anyway, Instablogs is one of these newer, very low profile for now, blog networks that is starting up. And I'm hoping that a lot of these networks can get as popular as Gawker is now, as popular as Weblogs Incorporated is now. Some of them are probably always going to be, you know, real low-level networks, which is fine. You know, they're going to fill very specific niches. And I think we're going to start to see commercial blogging as an actual, like, industry with a sizable workforce.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's like Pajama Media just came along now?
Yeah. Pajamas Media, run by several conservative bloggers, I think.
And it was interesting because I think didn't Futurismic join their group? Was that...
Futurismic.
Which is sort of not really sci-fi, but kind of a like cutting-edge technology and...
I think I subscribe to them in my transhumanism feeds, yeah. Okay, so, sorry, they're involved in...
I think that they joined Pajama, but I could be like entirely wrong on that.
Hmm. Tim Blair.
And last I checked, Pajama Media had one of those self-descriptions that like, oh, look at that guy's car. Did you notice it has that dent there?
Yeah, of course.
I loved that. The moment I saw that photo, I wasn't sure whether the irony was intended or not. I don't know. But anyway, they're like About Us page or something is, you know, one of those helping people get traffic, you know, whatever, those vague descriptions that didn't tell me what the actual structure of the network is. So I'm still trying to pin down whether it's just the ads that will be cross-network or whether
We've been, you know, LockerGnome is now considered, I mean, I've been doing this, LockerGnome since 96.
Uh-huh.
And you've got mail. I've been doing it for so long, I've had to evolve it into... I guess the way I describe it now is a blog network, because for all intent and purpose, it's exactly what it is.
Uh-huh.
We've got original content, we've got quoted content, you know, a variety of people contributing, but the business model isn't currently something that is as scalable as I need it to be. It's another one of those situations where I may need to open it up to a larger partnership to see it succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's... The internet's certainly turning that way, and though there are a lot of independents out there, there's certainly still a need for a conglomeration of like-minded thinkers.
Mm-hmm. And right now, Blogeverity, we're actually considering a lot of different options for expansion. We're not sure like which ways to partner yet, or which things we want to outsource and which we want to keep. There's just so many amazing options right now, especially with the boom of attention that's happening right now with. Just basically, I guess the entire boom is being called Web 2.0 is the name of the new .com boom.
I don't believe in that term. But
you don't believe in it?
No.
Because, I mean, like, do you not think it's a phase change that we're going through?
Yes, I wrote about it the other day and had a few people back me up on it. It's not Web 2.0.
I think I might have linked to that.
It's a renaissance.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's a renaissance. And, you know, Web 2.0 has been allegedly defined, but it was a marketing term. It was a term that was placed on something so that we could start defining it. But the problem with starting to define it is you're going to have people who don't agree with it. It's better to just let it happen without putting a set structure around it, and then when it's done, you could look at it and say, oh, wow, okay, that's what happened.
I guess that's a good idea to say, but I think like in history, every Renaissance has tried to name itself, has tried, even as it came out. I mean, that's one thing a lot of people say is the internet is more, I think there was a Cat and Girl comic noting that the internet talks about itself more than any other medium, but I really don't believe that's true. I mean, authors have written about their own work and each other's work all the time. You know, people would discuss stuff in coffee houses during the Western European Enlightenment in England. I mean, London was filled, I can't remember from history class, several thousand coffee houses in London at one time during the 1600s, and people were just talking about their own work and trying to analyze the revolution that was going on. And so I think it's healthy, even if it seems incestuous, all of this discussion and all this meta-discussion and such, and criticism, and including, you know, what you're saying, to tone it down sometimes. I think it's all a healthy part of getting the outside world to see what's going on. And if you can get people excited by saying, this is the big change, then at least they'll get in, join the party. You know, blogs can be more about more than just tech, you know. I don't know. I just feel like the Web 2.0 hype is helping us out.
See, I think we're actually in Bubble 2.0.
Yeah.
Do you think anything? What would collapse though?
What would collapse?
Wind would drop off its traffic or what?
I've heard several people in the advertising community say that they are marketing new media concepts and sort of getting carte blanche with budgets.
Huh.
That's frightening.
Yeah. So I mean, but what's going to fall off? I mean,
oh, there's going to be a lot of things.
What's
going to
fall off is all the people that are making money with advertising right now. Mm-hmm. While some types of advertising like AdSense are more success oriented and therefore more impervious to the concept of a bubble because people are actually watching whether or not they're making money from it.
Right.
What's going to happen is that a lot of the advertising, because we are starting to see an advertising boom, people are going to realize they're not getting the bang for their buck on a lot of this advertising, and the market for the advertising is going to drop out again. And I say that as somebody who makes probably in the neighborhood of like 90% of my revenue from advertising.
Hmm. Man, well, I don't know. I mean, doesn't TV advertising give the same low return that a banner ad does?
Well, TV's been around for a while, and certain bigger agencies understand that. It's a good old boys network. You want to talk about cronyism, television, radio, newspapers, hello! It's all cronyism. It's not just the government that's pretty much playing these kinds of games.
So we need to get cronies.
You know what?
That's not far from the truth.
It's not that far from the truth. It's about connections. Yeah. It's about who you know. And even more so online. What we're sitting on is an easy way of getting your thoughts from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got, blog software. And understand, you know, I've been doing this since 1996. I was blogging for all intents and purpose. Mm-hmm. I was blogging before blogging was blogging.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing it for years. Now I've got the software to make it easier, and since that's happened, it's leveled the playing field even further. So now getting my point across has become all that much more difficult. So
right.
You're going to have an increasing amount of people trying to be a voice in the fray. It's going to become just almost next to impossible to keep your relevance as high today as it will be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to become increasingly difficult.
And there will be lots of ad blockers like the one you have on my site.
Apparently, it's blocking an Amazon thing.
Yeah, I think it is an Amazon ad. Do you have those specifically blocked out, or
no? I think it's I don't know if it's the I think it's certain banners from certain networks that get that get blocked out. This is my laptop computer, so I don't tweak it too much.
I've talked to one of the leading bloggers at Gawker Media. And they block all the ads on their own site. I mentioned like a, you know, some ad that showed up on their site once, thinking if anyone had seen it and I could, you know, comment to it, it would be them.
Well, you see, no, I mean,
they got nothing.
Like, I mean, this browser, it's not blocking the, what is it? Is it Chiquita?
Yeah, it's not blocking the Mini Mall or the, I think, Yahoo.
Or
ad,
the, yeah, or
no,
the,
are they AdBright? Or?
AdBrights.
Yeah, I think they're AdBright.
Yeah. So I mean, it doesn't block everything. It usually is, for me, it's I think it's set on usually it's just the pop ups and the pop unders and everything. It's very rare that it would actually block a banner unless it was coming from a network that is set on a default, like it's serving up like quick serve links, which is like basically I think if I even go over to
the Blogeverity ads are coming from Blazon Network, which is not even a network I'm familiar with.
Oops, I gotta spell this right. RSS auction. Damn it. I gotta spell it right. RSSauction.com, which is a co-branded site I did with a friend that basically allows you to output eBay search feeds as RSS.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so if I do a search here for, like, I can search by seller or search by keyword. So if I do a search for, like, Vader, that's just a simple search. And press search, it'll output an RSS feed with that. Yeah, we're actually parsing this on, so it creates that as an RSS feed. Let me see if it's going to pop up a new window, which will really make me mad. So yeah, it serves up. If I try to put this URL, it should. It will probably block it. Yeah, it blocked it. It won't even load it. So it's usually from those the typical ad networks that have that people deem evil. And I just haven't cleared out the list. I think it's like it's like all that stuff. So if I go back.
And as Firefox becomes more prevalent, stuff like this, Firefox and other, you know, non-run-of-the-mill, and I think there's even a plugin for normal Internet Explorer that can block ads.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering also if that's going to help any coming crash that you would see.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think it's prevalent enough?
No, because as soon as it becomes prevalent, then they'll figure out a way around it.
Well, you know,
it's honestly, the ads I don't mind are like text based ads or like ads like the mini malls. Just because it's like, wow, this is an actual value.
But you've never clicked a banner ad or
no banner ads?
Really?
No. Have I ever clicked a television commercial? Have I ever clicked a billboard? Have I ever clicked? I mean, that's what they are. That's
one thing
that's
where I've actually had a very different experience. In that, one thing I love about Gawker is usually their ads are interesting, and they'll usually be like about some movie or at least some TV show, and usually they have enough branding and they've been so well designed because you know people don't buy a Gawker Media ad and just like throw it away because it costs good money, but. I'll actually click through. I can remember several ads that I've clicked through because they actually were so well designed and enticing. And I think if more ads were like that and people actually spent more time on designing their banner ads, then it would be less of a hassle.
It's,
you know?
it's not so much the design, it's also the how well it works within the site. You know, is it going to be relevant? Is it going to be targeted? And unfortunately, when you're a part of a banner network, you get your banner up here, the Amazon.com.
It isn't relevant.
It's not relevant. And quite honestly, if you're getting any clicks on that, I'd be surprised.
Right.
Even with its placement.
Well, and the payout.
Even
is,
with its placement.
The payout is probably
and the
next to nothing.
Yeah, the payout is paltry. In fact, with Amazon, speaking of, I logged in to see my quarter stats. I think I made $20. $20.
Man.
I wouldn't get out of bed for $20. I can't even take a Ponzi to McDonald's for $20.
Oh, come on. You can get the Happy Meal.
No, yeah. Even that cost. You know, they're charging you out the yin-yang. And the box isn't even any good anymore. The box used to be really cool. The thing, remember, they used to have the plastic toys, the
Don't
McDonald's
Don't they have
thing?
A bag now?
Yeah, it's a stupid bag.
Why would they put the Happy Meal in a bag?
It doesn't make me happy.
I don't understand that.
It's not a Happy Meal. It's a lackadaisical meal. You know, it's like,
yeah,
how
you
do you feel?
Your,
I feel lackadaisical.
You can play your Nintendo DS while you have your lackadaisical meal.
Yeah, and that's the only thing you can play. I'm waiting for someone to come up with a hack for that. I'm waiting for PT. To figure out how to hack the McDonald's Wi-Fi network so that you can play his PSP online instead of just the
See, the thing
DS.
Is, everybody that owns a PSP doesn't go to McDonald's.
I would disagree.
I think people who own a PFP go to McDonald's.
We have no numbers to back this up. We're just basically causing controversy.
I'm speculating.
We're causing controversy.
I think that's the worst, the most easily, you know, disproved statement you've ever made.
Oh, we do that all the time.
People with PSP.
We do it all the time.
So now we need to start a Flickr tag for people with a PSP.
Oh my god!
At McDonald's.
Oh my god!
Oh gosh!
Another meme.
I have a feeling
Yay.
I could find the right person to start that.
Oh god! Don't.
Unfortunately enough, I won't. I promise I won't start this
one. Don't. No memes. No more memes. I'm tired of memes.
No. Have you seen Merlin Mann's latest one?
No.
Vaguely worried cam girl.
Oh, I've heard about that one.
It's kind of funny. I actually put one on there with a little more photoshopping than most people put on theirs, and it really creeped a few folks out.
Oh,
you know, you
God.
Can just, you know, enlarge the eyes, draw out the chin a little.
God. You know, see, memes used to be fun. Seriously.
What?
I look back on when I started, when I started blogging when, like, way back when in the day, you know, when, like, there were, like, three bloggers in the universe, me, Scoble, and Weiner.
Yeah.
It was really like that. I mean, you'd have a few people out there doing things, but then Ponzi, what's wrong? Oh. She just walked in the room with these bright eyes. Anyway, you know, I look back then, and when there was a meme, it was fun. It was actually a lot of fun.
You know, my problem with vaguely worried cam girl would be the fact that it's mostly not girls.
Well, no. I mean, that was part of the whole irony of it.
It's just kind of stupid. But...
Bah. You can't slam Merlin Mann. I will not let that happen. Merlin Mann and Phil Terone are probably two of my, favorite blog everybodies, really. Them, Amanda Congdon, because no one beats Amanda Congdon, frankly.
And we actually had Andrew on
the
show
I
a
heard.
Little bit earlier.
That was really cool. I almost wanted to call in and talk to him.
Reach out and bitch slap him.
Huh?
There's a picture of Courtney in the Vaguely Worried Cam Girl series.
I'm not surprised. Why? I'm just not surprised. But the memes used to. I mean, when there was a meme, it was like you knew who was doing it, and it was fun. Now it's just like, dear God, everybody's got an account.
Too many people are in your club.
Way too many people.
I'm sorry.
and it's not my club necessarily.
No, I know.
It's just, where the blogosphere used to be, it's
the same thing
nowhere.
Indie fans get when a band goes big. It just doesn't feel fair, and then a bunch of bands that are mediocre can come out and have their day, too, because more people are paying attention.
Yeah.
It's just, they're going to have to be, I mean, right now, I think podcasting is still that fun little network.
No,
that,
no.
You know, you
nope.
still got,
nope.
huh?
It's bigger.
You think it's,
yeah,
it's big
it's
now?
Bigger than that.
I still see enough of them talking about each other, and I think Blog Everybody is one way to try to revive that interaction of a few really strong personalities. In that I try to feature a lot people who have really great ideas. And not just people who are huge. Recently, I've gotten...
Yeah, me.
Huh?
Nothing.
Well, yeah, right. Because, you know, you're on the fringe of
the
tech seed. Yeah. But there's this guy, The Assimilated Negro. I think it's theassimilatednegro.blogspot.com. He has put out, like a song about, a hip-hop song about Gawker, one about Dodgeball. .com and just put one out about nerve.com, and in between that he's writing these hilarious posts, just great stuff. And so, you know, a few bloggers, they hate to touch one topic more than once, which I think is just ridiculous. You know, if someone's putting out a whole bunch of great stuff, it's okay to obsess about them for a little while. You know, I think the readers are going to be okay with that.
Yep.
And so I love trying to showcase people like this who really deserve much more attention than they're getting. And it's just starting to take work, you know, with all the vanity feeds that all of us will always run. I start noticing that people are actually picking up on some of the cool stuff. They're saying, yeah, what Nick said is cool is kind of cool. And that's the most beautiful form of validation that I can ever get, you know, is when someone thinks that was worthwhile enough that I will blog it as well. And I just love showing... people like him. There's Todd Levin, who has a small online presence, but a bigger presence as an actual like stand-up comedian. And he's at Tremble.com, and he's done some hilarious pieces. And along with that, I mean, there's some great stuff being done by the people who were around, you know, back when it was you and a dozen other people. I mean, Jason Kotke, he's been around since when? Like, 97? 98?
The dawn of time, yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed was Metafilter doesn't seem to be like an incubator for bloggers anymore.
Nope.
You know, they actually, there's a huge backlash against blogging at Metafilter. You know, you usually, even when I hear something about Kotke, who, you know, what used to be one of their prominent members, and Anil Dash as well, they'll get ragged on in Metafilter.
Well, even I have to be careful in saying what I say. I mean, there's certain things that I do just to be dramatic, but I can't. It's difficult for me to say exactly what's on my mind. I mean, there's certain things that I would just love to just say.
Right.
And
I
went out on a huge, huge limb the other week when I basically said, "Google, get your act together." And
yeah.
Some people actually said that, only they didn't say act. they said shh and rhymes with hit. So in doing that, I knew that I was putting myself at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because there are people out there that no matter what I put on my blog, they're just going to disagree. I suck.
Right, right.
Just,
there will always be someone who will say that. Yeah. What was it?
That's how you know you've arrived. If someone says you suck.
It's people,
and then you know you're doing something right, man.
A backlash is that's the second greatest validation.
That's right. It is.
And you got a good response from Google.
Oh, no.
About this.
I got a response that I was not expecting. Google actually, even though they came out and said they weren't going to do it, mm-hmm. they actually realized they had to do it.
Yep.
It was a modest proposal at best,
mm-hmm.
and they're actually doing it.
Now, what do...
Turning on CAPTCHA for publishing.
Yeah.
I would be curious to hear both of your opinions on the idea that, okay, now a lot of pay services that people have integrated into Blogspot are broken, because you can no longer make an audio blog post to your Blogspot account. You can no longer automatically tie in your Flickr photos.
You know what?
Blogspot.
Honestly, I think that Google will work with those vendors to make sure they could get through. I believe. I mean, but that's putting a stamp of approval on the vendor.
Yes.
And it's requiring that stamp of approval. That is a scalable proposition because there aren't so many vendors out there that haven't been vetted. It's that whole process that doesn't exist, which is the reason why splogs are currently happening.
But see, the vendors...
Through Blogspot.
The vendors and legitimate Blogspot customers are crying foul as a result of this.
Why should they? They're using a service for free.
Exactly.
Well, that's what I'm... The argument stops there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're not a paying customer for a service, then if they change their terms of service... What grounds do you have to stand on? Seriously, that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. As someone who provides free services out the wazoo, I know people block my ads. I know they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. What am I going to say? Stop.
You know,
it.
I have to say one of the smartest solutions to that I ever encountered.
Jeff Kleinman.
He puts his ads on the same server that all of the buttons that make his forums functional are on. So that if you block his ads, you also can't use his forums.
Isn't that smart? It doesn't, unfortunately, work with like an AdSense because all the remotely hosted stuff is going to get cut off. But it's funny how that and people actually complained about that. His users actually complained. I can't blah, 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 blah. And, what's he going to do?
So?
Yeah, what's he going to do? And it's a difference between, you know, a paid web and a free web. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, honestly, I am willing, more than willing, to put up with advertisements. I'm much more willing and able to put up with text-based and relevant advertisements than I am with things that aren't relevant or that get in my way. I mean, I put, if the advertisement is relevant and gets my way, mm-hmm. as long as it's getting in my way the right way, then I'm fine
mm-hmm.
with it. Popping up over content annoys the hell out of me.
Gosh, yeah, I really can't stand
that. Sitting beside the like you've got the ad perfectly in line right now in what I'm looking at in Blogeverity. That's
mm-hmm.
the perfect way of doing it. That is absolutely perfect. Honestly, I would say this Amazon thing, you're not making any money. Whoever's doing it is not making any money. That's a guarantee. It's a guarantee.
We're still looking I am convinced.
If Locker Gnome is making $20 and a quarter, you're not making anything.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. Trust me.
We're definitely looking for advertisers, and
have you tried
anyone who wants to advertise like a blogging tool.
Wait, have you done blog ads yet?
What?
Have you been sponsored for blog ads? If not, I'll send you a sponsorship link. Because
that would be great.
Blog ads is seriously, and yep. I know there are a lot of blog ads type of networks, but blog ads has done, it was the best banner network, I'll put it this way, best banner network I've ever joined. Best.
Excellent.
I mean, the interface blows. I mean, like, beyond, it's like, if there's a web 2.0, this is like web 5.2.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I should say, 0.52.
This is alpha web.
Alpha web, right. It's just like, oh, God. But that being said, it works. And I get advertisers through it that I don't normally or wouldn't normally get. So that right now, they've got so many people as they have to vet it. So I'll send you, just like, send me an email, Nick. And
okay.
I'll send you, I've got a certain amount of like sponsored people that, who I sponsor to say, yes, these people are okay to actually run the service through. But I would seriously recommend doing that. You'd end up making more money, I can guarantee, because you set your own prices. And you can
nice.
You can send advertisers through there instead of managing your own ads.
Oh, that's right. I think we've just gotten involved in that. Yeah, I'll check with Kyle. I think we might have just gotten involved in it, but we haven't set it up yet. We have a lot of time constraints right now because all three of us who are running it, well, especially Kyle and me, I'm going to school full time, like you mentioned earlier, majoring in English, and
dumbass.
Well, I'm taking a computer programming course.
Dumbass.
In C, and I'm only like a fourth of the way through my homework because I have never taken anything in programming before. But
oh man.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, Kyle also has full time work. And so that's why we're looking into a lot of partnerships, because we realize that we're ultra-niche. We've got 50% Firefox viewers, which shows that we're definitely getting a very specific part of the population. You know, we're getting very influential people, and we want to run maybe some polls or something to, to show that so we can demonstrate it to advertisers that they're going to get a lot more bang for every viewer than they would at some general interest site if they're in our field.
You're looking for software partnerships? Or
no, we're looking for advertisers, and we're doing some of our own searches for business partners, and we might try to do some integration with some other. I don't know how much I can say, actually.
Okay, it's okay.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But we're definitely looking to do a lot more than we're doing right now. There's going to be a lot more coming from BlogEverity. Kyle's looking in several different directions. One thing that I wanted to mention was how amazed I'm getting that it's, I guess it's just a really general thing, but with all this integration of new topics being covered on weblogs, you're finding a lot of people joining the first bloggers of the Digerati. I always want to call them the Technorati, but now you can't. Of you and,
Technocracy.
Gilmore. And,
you can call it Technocracy is still not taken.
No. I think the Digerati. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's being joined by, on the one hand, Gawker Media is bringing a lot of these publishing world people in. Andrew Krukoff, Jessica Cohen, and Nick Denton. Well, Nick Denton was in the Digerati already, but he's brought all these people in. And did you hear that Andrew Krukoff, who has a blog at youngmanhatnight.com, and he also worked at Condé Nast, got fired for sending an internal email to Jesse Oxfeld at Gawker? When Krukoff sent this, he had no idea that Oxfeld would use it for his blog. Oxfeld did, removed the source name, but of course Condé Nast was able to look up which of their employees had sent it, because Krukoff wasn't smart enough to send it from Gmail or something. So Condé Nast actually, apparently, it went all the way up to Cy Newhouse, and
What was it about?
Oh, it was that's the worst thing. Their internet was down for a bit, so Krukoff just sent Oxfeld this little email explaining why he wasn't going to be online for a while. Like, they could access their email, but they couldn't get their web or whatever, And Oxfeld took it and turned it into a little news item. So Krukoff wasn't tipping. He was just saying, I'm personally not going to be online, and this is why. It was totally this personal email.
That's news?
Huh?
That's news?
To Gawker, because they cover media. For them, it was within their beat. I think it was a legitimate story for them. But Oxfeld did not clear this with Krukoff and everything. And that's one thing where I think that's the part of the thing that we have to be careful about when bloggers are starting to really cover stuff that, at least to the companies they cover, is sensitive information. For some reason, Condé Nast thinks that the fact that their internet down being down is a sensitive thing. Like, I got fired from CNN for letting Rachel Sklar into the building to take photos of a poster that CNN had blown up from one of her blog posts.
What?
The timeline there is Rachel Sklar blogs something about CNN's jackets, right? She makes some joke. They take the post at CNN, blow it up, print it, and put it in their office lobby. She gets permission to go into CNN and take photos. The guy who gave her permission gets fired.
Why?
It's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
No,
I think there's.
But has anybody questioned why?
Yeah, and no one's getting an answer. I don't think the guy was given any notice, and I'm not sure why.
Oh my God! Are people that scared of what's
going on? This is the sort
of
thing that the media is just deathly scared of people being blog tipsters. They're really scared of it.
Well, I got two words for him: tough cookies.
I know.
Bottom line.
I'm so excited about it.
Bottom line. it's certainly going to be interesting these coming years, and I think a huge thing happened. Well, two big things happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
One, the video iPod video.
Yep.
Which, and I don't have an iPod, and dear God, I don't want to own one. And I just found out last night that my brother bought an older iPod. I'm like, why?
Do you have a player?
Honestly, I don't. I don't really do a lot of.
He has. He's lying. He does have an iPod Nano in his house.
What? I do?
No, not a Nano. I mean a Shuffle.
A Shuffle.
You have a Shuffle.
I bought that for Bonzi.
Oh, that doesn't count.
So, Shuffle doesn't count. I mean, it's like a memory stick.
I never understood that.
No,
why anyone thought the Shuffle was anything more than crap.
Well, no, I think it's neat for what it does.
It's a thumb drive.
I bought a $50 MP3 player that did more than that.
Right, it's not price. It's sexiness. That's all Apple's selling. That's why they can get away with highway robbery and monopolizing
the
industry.
Is it sexy in person? Because in photos.
They'd sell 10 times as many if it vibrated.
Oh, I'm sure they would. there's probably a hack for that, too. So
the iPod video
came out. Anyway, so the iPod video came out. That was the first, like, wake-up call to the industry. The second wake-up call was the announcement by Comedy Central about their Motherlode service. Taking bits and pieces and clips of their popular shows and putting them online.
They've always been amazing about that stuff. Like, The Daily
just
Show
the
always had those clips on their site.
This is just, mark my words, just the beginning of the end of traditional media. It's not even, see if we can get Terry.
The end or just the marginalization?
I think he's on the East Coast.
No, he's probably asleep. It's the beginning of the disappearing of affiliates.
Yeah,
and as you said, it's a marginalization. Content is cheap and it's easy to get a hold of and to create. Not to say that it's anything more than well, I think Jake made this allusion offline a few weeks ago. It's like video blogging is essentially the world's stage for public access.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's public access.
Yeah.
Despite what anybody tries to put into it, it's public access.
And I don't mean that in a condescending sense.
It's just
right.
That's what it is.
It's what public access was intended to do, for the common person to have access to the mass media cable networks.
It's amazing that just within a decade, after a century of us being able to making a movie wasn't only for studios since, you know, we first came out with a home movie camera.
The Super 8 was kind of the start of the home movie revolution.
But yeah, like,
that was
like
my porn
after
music
a
there
century of all this stuff,
mode,
like being able to take photos at home, being able to record something at home, we still didn't have any means of getting it out there.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed that it would have even taken so long, frankly, to come up with a system like the internet, and now in maybe another decade now it's like 60% of all online users are on broadband.
Yep.
Which makes them able to send video, to even stream video if they want, and send audio with just no problem whatsoever, and that just qualitatively changes what we can share. I mean, because people aren't going to go to get the first text about a news story, about like some bomb blowing up, as much as they want to turn on the TV. But if you can actually get that video out as quickly as they're getting it out on TV, which I still haven't really seen a major news event that internet video came out as quickly as it did on TV.
Well, it's because the internet is like a billion channels versus 50 channels.
Well, one of the tricky things that the internet really hasn't addressed, and I mean, for all of BitTorrent being able to balance bandwidth, the internet really has not effectively demonstrated the ability to do multicasting, which is effectively what television does, where you're broadcasting from one location and it doesn't matter how many people tune in, that location is not going to crash. And the problem with the internet is if you have too many people tune in, it will still crash in some way.
Right.
And that hasn't been solved. And until that gets solved, television, for all of its shortcomings, is still going to be the most effective way to distribute a timely message in video.
Well, right now, I think there's almost any video you can just set to the Internet Archive or a couple other services. It's just very few people know about them.
But the thing is, if you put it up there, it's not, you're not going to get it instantaneously. The issue is, like, if I put something up there and it was like an earth-shattering story and 10 million people wanted to download it simultaneously, something bad would happen that would cause it to not work. Something would fail. Like, there'd be a choke point somewhere in the network that would cause it so that, you know, maybe a fraction of those people could get it.
Well, does BitTorrent, I mean, would there still be a breaking point if something were torrented? Or are you saying the delay there makes that useless for what you're talking about?
There's still a delay there because realistically, you know, if you turn on your TV, what's going on the TV is right there. BitTorrent, you're still waiting for the entire thing to download before you can actually do anything with it because it comes in a random order.
So we'll just, as bandwidth increases, will that just solve the problem or?
No, I mean, it really has to be, the whole concept of distribution has to be rethought. Mark Cuban actually made a really excellent post on this a while back, talking about it, when they were at broadcast.com, before he sold it to Yahoo, they were well aware that this is a problem that would need to get solved at some point in the future, and it still has not been solved.
Huh. And the first guy who does is...
You know, I mean, if anybody knows that market, it's Mark Cuban.
Right. Huh. Now I've got another thing to collect RSS feeds on and watch. And what do you think the keywords are so that I should search for this now?
Keywords specifically for
watching out for the first guy to make a move towards solving the problem of multicasting.
Multicasting. Unicasting is something that you have to understand to really understand how multicasting works.
Cool.
I would actually go through Mark Cuban's Blog Maverick site and look for where he's talked about video distribution, and you could probably call some keywords from there that would give you a really good target for what to watch.
Excellent.
You know, and that brings up an interesting interesting point. You're somebody who watches a ton of blogs.
Yeah.
How do you effectively find, like, if you, like, let's say you decide something like you're going to watch this video topic now.
Uh-huh.
How do you decide how you're going to track whatever it is that you plan to track on a given subject area?
Well, usually I just have about 180 feeds that I'm watching. And right now, because I only have so much time during every day to post, I'm basically working on just posting what I find from those feeds, and very often I get enough coverage from what they link out to, and I'm watching most of the people who talk about each other. You know, like, if Mina Trott says something, I'm probably going to, I'll either see Jeff Jarvis or Steve Rubell or, you know, one of the other A-listers talk about it. Probably one of the two or the B-listers on my list will talk about it, and there I have, you know, 5-6 different outlooks on one thing. Sometimes, I actually don't go to Technorati as much as I should, but sometimes I'll just Google around, I'll look at backlinks sometimes Technorati. But really, right now, I've got a lot of content just coming through about 200 feeds, even though those change, you know, all the time, usually adding more than I delete. But I'm not really sure how I'm going to scale it when I try to cover more and more. I'm actually interested in maybe tracking Memorandum more often. And depending on some of these automated aggregators.
Yeah, I say I'd be careful about any kind of – you're a filter in and of yourself.
Right.
So I'd be careful about using another filter to – in fact, I did my best, and I think I kind of succeeded. I kind of gamed Memorandum the other day.
Hmm.
If you notice, I was very loquacious.
Yeah.
I posted like 5 things in one day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Each one of those stories was already a part of Memorandum. And I got a link on each. And I'm not the only one doing it. There are a couple people that are doing the same thing.
I see what you mean.
They're gaming Memorandum. You've got to be careful about filters. Filters can and will be gamed.
Yep. Yep. And I guess that's one reason I found it so rewarding to just pick up a bunch of feeds and follow them, you know, to follow the people straight from the source. And often enough, you'll see they've found each other, so that by the time I get to it, there's already a good conversation. I can just pick out, you know, the most salient points, put them against each other, and hope that one of the people in the discussion comes over to my blog to comment again, which is so fun to see happen. But I guess that's basically how I gather feeds, right, or gather sources right now. One thing I'm really looking forward to is the growing number of tips that I'm getting. Right now, we'll get just maybe like 2 or 3 a day. But I've noticed that, you know, the largest blogs, I mean, once someone becomes, if we could become an authority the way that Gawker has, they just get tips out the bum. It's just all day. Their email is packed with people sending in little snippets.
But there's a lot of noise in there.
There is. But, I mean, by the time you get to that point, you've had such experience piecing it together, you know? Mm-hmm. By the time I would ever get a full, huge inbox that I needed to sift through, I would be able to recognize, you know, what was worth something. And, I mean, that's just something that anyone, if they keep writing long enough and honing and they get response of any sort, their blog is going to get better and better, I really think. Barring some, you know, other major force.
Now, I've been deciphering your phone connection. It's actually been sending me Morse code. I don't know if you can hear it crackling, but we can.
Yeah.
And it's saying that you've got homework to do.
So I do have a ton.
We're going to have to kick you off.
Awesome. Thank you so much for letting me come on.
Oh, no problem. We'll do it again.
Have a good rest of the show.
Oh, thanks, Nick.
Bye.
Appreciate it. BlogEverity.com. And, of course, that was Nick Douglas. I don't know if we're friends yet. I don't know if I've achieved that level. I'm still an A-lister. I don't know. Maybe I want him to start like a D-list on BlogEverity, and I want to be the only person in the D-list. I just want to be just like, boop, D, like smaller than small. You know, like, what the hell? What the hell did Chris Perillo do to be on the D-list? I don't know. Be great. It'd be, you know, fun. A C-plus list, I don't know.
C-plus list.
D-minus. There you go. D-minus list. So you're just barely squeaking along there.
You don't want to set your sights too high, because then there's expectations.
Yeah, because then someone's going to come along, oh, I want to be on the E-list, and it's like, you know.
Z-list. Z-list, because you can't go lower than
Z. You can't go lower than Z. And it's just like, it might be a little foot. It'll Greek. It'll be so small. 6 point, 5 point, 4 point.
Yeah, because it's neat, because they've got like a sort of a sliding scale. Actually, they've got a sliding scale.
Yeah, it would have to be like uber, uber, uber tiny. I'll ask if I can make the D-list. If I could be the D-list.
Live streaming of The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media and Limelight Networks. Download Windows Media Player 10 to listen to The Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, GMT-8.